Blog Talk Radio.
Where there is fire, there is smoke. And in that smoke, from this day forward, my people will crouch and conspire and plot and plan for the inevitable day of man's downfall, the day when he finally and self-destructively turns his weapons against his own kind, the day of the writing in the sky, when your cities lie buried under radioactive rubble, when the sea is a dead sea and the land is a wasteland, out of which I will lead my people from their captivity, and we shall build our own cities in which there will be no place for humans except to serve our ends. And we shall found our own armies, our own religion, our own dynasty. And that day is upon you now!
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane!
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Yes, yes, yes. I'd never get tired of that applause, folks. Welcome once again to the Grindhouse edition, the New Year's in Review edition of Afternoon Radio featuring Captain Kirk, in this case, the Comic Shop. Folks, the Comic Shop airs at 6 p.m. and Afternoon Radio airs at 7 p.m. The indefatigable, irascible, irreplaceable, and just about ornery Daryl B. Is not here. He had a prior function, so he will be missed, but we will expect him next week with his opinion. So, again, folks, you're just going to have to contend with the captain and myself. Obviously, we have to talk about what has happened, what has transpired the year that's closing out, as well as what to look forward to 2013 in the realm of pulp, pop, fiction, sci-fi, fantasy, and otherwise. There's a lot to talk about for this year, this triumphant year, and of course, what to look forward to for 2013. But first, let's give you a little taste of some nerdcore. And when we get back, more about the year in review, 2012. This is Cybernetic Circuits by Optimus Ron. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
On my payroll, I spent 20 G's on this vocab upgrade. Phytogenetical cybernetic tongue muscles are good for the flow and great for other things. Now I mean, human chips, keep the 50 gigs. Optimus, impossibly efficient, full of 1%. Thermodynamics designed by devious engineers. Every last one expels forgiveful stealing gears. Elaborate systems are probing space for them shows. Titanium lawyers find mother nature's move. Ho, ho, purple, hurdle in the head, and I'll pass bug killer. I found it in that patch, it made me iller. Pupils constrictive, you can see monocle irises. I hired an analysis to see what my virus is. What? It's not what I expected. Infected by the whacker called conspiracy, inhibitory, infected.
Ain't nothing left but these cybernetic circuits to work with. I burst in binary code without rehearsing. I'm bursting. Permanent collisions for your operating system. You want me to stop? But what's the difference? Resistance is useless within this. Auto-beat monopoly and you're another victim. We break in, spitting more than just phlegm. Taking everything hostage, no ransom. I'm logged on from net to .com. Sliding through all your measures like I'm singing a song. Your firewall just got hit by a bomb. My soundscapes create earthquakes from Seattle to Cybertron. Just remain calm. There's no need for the static, see? These auto-beats can beat you automatically. You're now a casualty.
job of these satellites.
Encryption, deciphering all that you read.
All right. Okay, enough of that. Once again, Cybernetic Circus by Optimus Rhyme, giving the best of nerdcore music. Again, this is the Comic Shop, part of the AfroNet Radio umbrella. The call-in number, folks, once again, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We're talking about all things that have occurred in the world of pulp and pop fiction circa 2012. I could not do it without my podcast Avengers in tow. As I said earlier, Daryl B. is not in attendance today. He had a prior function, but he will be missed. But we are expecting the captain to beam on in. Captain, it's time.
Let's go. Let's get it started, sir. Let's get it started.
All right, folks. Just to be more comfortable, we're going to get into the facts of 2012, but the captain and myself, behind the scenes, before we went on air live, we were talking about the new movie-going experience. I'm pretty sure all over the country, many of these theaters, because I've been reading it for quite some time, Captain, I'm pretty sure you're aware of this as well, that many of these theaters are going through changes anyway. Our local theater that we go to see many of these films that we end up reviewing, it's going through some changes. They're going through dress rehearsals, as it were. And now, you know, because, you know, we know full factually that they have to compete with the home theater market. And folks are able to buy 50-inch, 60-inch, 70-inch plus screens for under a grand now, under a couple of grand. You can really put together a phenomenal home theater experience. So because they're competing with that, and with the fact that the DVD market with these DVDs and Netflix, they're coming to your homes faster than ever. Faster than ever. So now if you go to your actual local theater, they're making the screens more home-like. They're making the theater experience more comfortable. So the local theater that we attend in New York, I was surprised to see Django in a really different experience. The seats were larger. You can recline in them. You have reserved seating. It's a whole different experience. I mean, when you go there now, you're just not as uncomfortable. Sometimes you're fighting your discomfort with also trying to get a handle on what's on the screen. Now, I have to admit, at looking at Django last week, the actual movie-going experience was a bit different. It wasn't off-putting whatsoever. It was just comfortable, where you could recline. You could almost lay back and like you're in a bedroom. What are your thoughts on this, Captain?
Well, as I said before, behind the scenes, bringing it to the forefront for the show now, it was a change, a total change. And sometimes I can be resistant to change. You know, I just like things a certain way, and I get used to it, and that's the way I like it. But we have to also understand something. A lot of times change is good. Sometimes it's not good. A lot of times change is good. So that being said, let me get started. The seats I thought were great. I thought were absolutely great. There were a few changes. If you are a popcorn person and you got a bucket of popcorn, right? You no longer get a bucket. You get a bag. You know why they give us a bag? Because how do movie theaters make money? They make money on their little refreshments, which are 1,000 times the regular markup that you would normally buy in the store. That's why it's so expensive. That's how they make their money. But now you're getting less popcorn, and you get less soda, which made sense to me because the theater is actually smaller. So you have to be able to make the money back somewhere. And since that's the bread and butter, most of the money, they get a real small percentage off of the movie ticket. They do make some money from that, but most of their money is really made. The balance, the main portion, It's from the refreshments that they're selling. That's why it's so ludicrously priced. Now, the only problem I have is when you purchase your ticket, see, I like having the option. It's like going to a bank. When you go to a bank, you have an ATM there. You can go there, pull out some money, or you have the option of going to a bank teller. The ATM is the digital experience. The bank teller is the analog experience. Great option. It's good. You utilize them, and you get different experience depending on your need. Now, when you go shopping, you can go online. We all know about Cyber Mondays. We all do that here at Apple Nerd. You have that option. And then it comes to your house a couple of days later. Or you have the option of going to the store and getting dealing with a person. That's the analog experience. Online is a total digital experience. Now what has happened now, the way this movie theater is set up, let's say Superman is coming out Friday. The week before, the Saturday, should I say 7 days before, I have to go online now. I can't run to the theater anymore, say, I'm just going to go there and get the matinee. It might be sold out, smaller theater and everything. And being that it's a blockbuster film, I have to go online. So I'm locked into a digital experience now, whether I like it or not, and purchase the ticket. So just a change of an experience. And I also have to pick my seat. There's no more going in there, okay, I got my ticket, I came here early, let me look around, let me see, let me do this, let me do that. No. Different experience. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. Time will tell if it's good or bad, but it's just a different experience. Seats are beautiful. Bathroom is beautiful. Different experience. Time will tell whether or not it's good or bad because I'm locked in. I do not like being locked in to have to do things. I should have the option. The option is taken away. That's all I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yeah, I have to admit to that, Captain, but I think that comfort trumps everything. it's just the way people are. People have wanted to live like the Jetsons since the 60s, that famous Hanna-Barbera cartoon. And we're getting closer to the Jetsons lifestyle. We really are. And I think the future is now. So I just wanted to kind of mention that to the audience. I'm pretty sure that in their local theaters they're experiencing the same thing. It's not so much about altruism. It's more about these folks are in competition with the home market, and they have to make it comfortable for you. And I have to admit, I felt like I was at home looking at, you know, it didn't seem like I was so far away from the home experience. And that had to be on purpose. And also, as you just stated, these theaters are smaller. They're more ergonomic. So no matter where you sat, even though we are talking about now, as Kathy just talked about, we're talking about now reserved seating. No matter where you sat in that theater, you're going to be comfortable. Whereas the old school analog experience, to reference the captain, you can get a bad seat and be uncomfortable. This new paradigm, not so sure about that now. If you got in the front, the infamous front seat, you would still enjoy the theater experience. All right, folks, anyway, again, let's get into the brush. This is the Comic Shop. Daryl is out. Feel free to buzz in if you'd like to join in, talking about the best of 2012. And I must say that each year, I'm always led to believe it is the year of the geek. It's our time, the year of the nerd. But it seems like each year the stakes rise exponentially. I would think, heck, when the second Dark Knight, the second Batman movie came out, and Iron Man came before it, I thought that was the year of the geek. Then you had Captain America and Thor and all these, you know, all these other comic book sci-fi movies coming out in the preceding years. Those are the years of the geek. Perhaps the crescendo was reached in 2012. Perhaps. I think 2012 might have been the most successful movie-going year to date when you factor in The Dark Knight Rises and the Avengers being shown within a few months of each other. And also Spider-Man was out this year as well. Prometheus, The Hobbit, you had a lot of geek fare, and of high quality geek fare at that. So that's one thing I think needs to be noted, is that we're talking at a time where you're getting more of what you want. And actually, there's so much product that a lot of things have actually snuck behind the scenes or snuck under the wire that I'm going to have to revisit. One movie that I believe did fairly well, but I don't think was all that known, was Liam Neeson's The Gray. Now, I love Liam Neeson, phenomenal actor. He's coming into his own as an adventurer in his maturing stages, which is something that's also to be applauded, that you don't have to be a 20 or 30-something. Now, you're almost expected to be close to 60. If you still have the chutzpah, if you still have the chops, you can bring in a franchise. You can headline an action-adventure film in advanced age, and Liam Neeson is kicking ass and taking no prisoners. So The Gray is a movie I'm going to have to visit. I heard about it. Now I'm hearing more about it now that we're at the tail end of the year. But we spoke about, and we'll probably continue to speak about this movie since I saw it last week, coming in again at the tail end, of course, is Quentin Tarantino's Tour de Force with Leonardo DiCaprio, Christoph Waltz, and Jamie Foxx, Django Unchained. Folks cannot stop talking about this film. They can't stop talking about it. So this year offered a lot of power, a lot of passion. It was the geeks, the year of the geek. Each year the stakes grow higher. 2013, which we'll also talk about, a lot of stuff coming down, coming through. I don't know if it can compete with 2012. I don't know. Having the Avengers and having Batman, Spider-Man, all these films in the same space, James Bond, The Hobbit, all that stuff coming in the same year is a pretty hard thing to contend with. And also, as I mentioned, a Quentin Tarantino film to put on top of that. That is a geek's paradise. So I've had very few complaints cinematically as far as 2012 has come along. I used to complain a lot about TV. I really can't even complain about TV now. TV went through a stage with this reality nonsense, Captain, and the reality industry, the minstrel industry, which we talk about incessantly on Afterdark, and which we'll talk about forthcoming at 7 p.m., that industry is thriving. However, thanks to the BBC, thanks to the Internet, thanks to AMC TV, Walking Dead, all these, there's a lot of stuff, HBO, there's a lot of outlets cinematically on the TV side of things for your internal geek or nerd. A lot of stuff out there. Captain, what are your thoughts? There's a lot more. I want to go to a musical break, but briefly, what are your thoughts about 2012 as far as movies, as far as what you saw, whether it's quantitatively or qualitatively? Give us your thoughts on 2012 in the movies.
Well, let me say this. If we, when I say we, the geek world or / nerd world or comic book aficionado, whatever you want to prefer, whatever you want to use, if we would have just gotten The Dark Knight, this Dark Knight, and Avengers in the same year, we were gone. It would have been a good year. Think about it. Just think of those two movies, just alone. Good year. But actually, we had an incredible year. It's an incredible year. If you picked your spots wisely, you understand? Every week you were on a high if you picked your spot wisely. There were a few duds out there, but, you know, as long as you picked your spot wisely, which I've been told I'm very good at, by the way, you know, pick the spots wisely. Let's go see this. Don't go see this. You see a movie such as Prometheus, you have to know the history in order to go see that. You can't be a Johnny-come-lately 16-year-old. You have to go back in the archive to appreciate it. But once you go back in the archives, you got to see something really good. You got to see why Ridley Scott is a master. Now, you look at the movie Avengers. You had the long run-up. You had the Thor movies, Captain America. You had the Hulk movies, Iron Man. I don't even talk about Iron Man. Iron Man number one, you know, we go back a few years. That was an incredible movie. But anyway, you had all of that. So you had to do the history on it. But most of the audience did the history. They got the history. Avengers was, you know, it was just incredible. Now leads us to the Dark Knight, the highest apex, zenith, highest pinnacle, incredible movie. I would say we had a great year. Now, if going into 2013, it could be better than that. That might be a little scary, or it might be extremely orgasmic, to tell you the truth. Now, just before I pass it back over to you, Sir Apple, I want to talk about TV. You said something about TV and the TV shows. There are great TV shows out there, but there's only one problem. Because they're spread out, you can lose a lot of things. You don't know what to look for. You do not know what to look for. So you have to do your due diligence, do your studies to find out what's really going on, because it might not be on your local networks that you're used to just actually looking at. But there is a lot of good TV shows out there. Back over to you, Sir Alpha Nerd.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that in depth after the musical break. Just briefly, as you just so aptly stated, Captain, the polar opposites, you know, as far as if you want to go more into rivalry with DC versus Marvel, that definitely was something you saw in Batman versus the Avengers. That's one aspect if you want to look at it that way. And that's a comic book aficionado's dream. But you factor in Ted, which was Seth MacFarlane's foray into filmmaking. Those who know him from Family Guy and American Dad, he actually put together a phenomenal film that made a lot of money. One of the few comedies. I mean, you know, comedy has taken a hit also, the comic genre. You know, Eddie Murphy during the 80s owned the comic genre. It was a lot of funny, you know, if you think about, who's the gentleman that passed on? I can't think of his name right now, Captain, but he is responsible for 16 Candles, Weird Science. It'll come to me in a moment, but he died a few years back. There were certain comedic staples that occurred in the 80s that we just don't really see now. Maybe the Seth Rogans of the world might be getting into that territory. There are a few people, you know, those who have done the 40-year-old virgin. There's a few people out there that have their own niche comedic markets. But Ted might actually have brought back the comedy to the theaters. Because the comedies have been lame for I don't know, better more than a decade. There have been some things here and there. You know, some folks find Tyler Perry movies comedically funny. To me, not so much. They're not comedically challenging. Also, Looper was another phenomenal sci-fi movie, bringing sci-fi, quality sci-fi back into mainstream cinema. As far as something that might be more of a independent vibe, you had End of Watch, which was phenomenal. Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, there were so many things beyond the comic book genre that, you know, was tangentially connected to it. You couldn't really be dissatisfied. So when we get back, I want to talk more about this space that the captain was referencing, the fact that there's a lot of stuff out there cinematically on TV. But he is correct. It's a little – they have their own universes, and you have to know how to navigate these universes. If you know what you're doing, if you know how to be discerning, you will have a great time and a great experience on the television side of things. Anyway, we'll get to that. First up, more Nerdcore Muzak. Let's go out with MC Frontalot, Invasion of the Not Quite Dead. Invasion of the Not Quite Dead. Let's groove, folks. MC Frontalot.
Inescapable, wanna get out of it, nobody's capable. Get it stapled to the manila folder of your life when the moment arrives. A pure certification of events, births, vaccinations, graduations, rent. Then when it's all over with, hope you get laid to rest underneath an obelisk. Don't have to keep hustling on, ashamed of your shame, like you done something wrong by swindling the reaper out of one size swipe or turning all the living into fun size bites. You can't help it, your life's priorities left with your last breath, and the enormity of this milestone isn't noted by your mourners. So too busy wishing you go back to the coroner.
You have to learn to live with the fact that you're dead. You have to learn to live with the fact that you're dead.
Plenty of you now, and plenty more coming, and some of them think they'll survive, so keep running. But sooner or later, we all run out of time. The trick is to not get stuck 1 foot over the line. Nothing less but your viciousness. Maybe that's all you ever were. That's chrysalis led to the one true you, and it's hungry. Eat another neighbor up, blood on your dungarees. The guns release bullets, you don't mind. Your gullet's so full, it's divine. And this is like a miracle to linger past your passing. Blessing that's lasting, a horse fast amassing. Please forgive loved ones who aren't missing you. Photo albums, they're not reminiscing. To remember what the preacher at your funeral said, it isn't quite a tragedy, you're not quite dead.
You have to learn to live with the fact that you're dead. You have to learn to live with the fact that you're dead.
Product of voodoo, maybe mad science. Doesn't matter now, you're free from reliance on reasons for things, they all just happen. Blood just splatters, sit and bring a napkin. So inconsiderate, but that's canonical. Consciousness gone, it was at best phenomenal. Plain talk, haven't got your head on straight now. You're the one, all of them wanna decapitate. Don't let them, they're morsels all. You can come get them, they're of course appalled. But before long, they won't care like you don't. They'll be craving the long prosciutto, but otherwise undesirous of anything. Ready for this, or is it unsettling? Every one of us has squandered years, so go for the gory bite in between the ears.
It's not a tragedy, nobody thinks so. It's not a tragedy, nobody thinks so. It's not a tragedy, nobody thinks so. It's not a tragedy, it's not a tragedy. You have to learn to live with the fact that you're dead.
Alright, folks, give you the best of nerdcore music. That is MC Frontalot, MC Frontalot. Back into the vault, folks, again, the midway point of the comic shop. Daryl is persona non grata for the moment. He had a prior function, and he will be missed, obviously. He's one of perhaps the most rambunctious of us. he's a far more passionate nerd than I. Well, at least when it comes to comic books, let's put it that way. But he'll be back the following Sunday. The call-in number, if you'd like to come in and give us your opinion on the year 2012, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Right before the break, the captain and I were talking about television that I distinctly remember really having an issue with the state of the landscape of television maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, going back. I just couldn't handle it. I mean, it seemed like we were just getting a deluge of crappy television. Now, it's still going on. crappy television is still going on, but there's a lot of stuff out there that if you pick your own menu, as it were, you'll do fine. That's the key. There's enough out there, and although I'm agnostic, thank God for the internet, because truth be told, a lot of the things that I'm looking at by way of the UK, shouting out Afro Brit and, of course, Stanley Kubrick, our UK listeners, there's a lot of stuff out there that I, you know, the Misfits I talk about all the time. They just closed out their fourth season with essentially an entirely new cast. And you would think, you know, when these things go on and there's cast turnover, sometimes they don't really work out that well. I can't say that for Misfits. Misfits have actually been okay. And the UK version of Being Human also had a cast turnover. And actually, that seemed to work out. So the Brits, folks know I'm an Anglophile. I can always go on and on about the Brits. They just have yet to disappoint me cinematically. This has not happened yet. I'm always discovering new things that they're doing, even on a low budget tip. They don't have the American budget on some of their stuff, but the acting is so top-notch, Captain. I really don't have a gripe with some of this stuff. Next year, 2013, we're expecting Benedict Cumberbatch. Of course, we're going to see him in the next Star Trek film. But he's also the headliner for Sherlock. He's coming back in 2013. But knowing where to go is what is crucial, as the captain has talked about. The gentleman, I can't recollect the actor's name, the actor that was killed in the infamous scene in Django where he was pulled apart by dogs. I mean, it was a really horrific, horrific scene in Django. He has a regular role on Copper. I've mentioned Copper on our show before. Copper, if I'm trying to find out what – I think it's – yeah, Copper's also – yeah, Copper's BBC America also. Copper's BBC America talking about Five Points New York, the infamous Five Points Gangs of New York time period. And he plays – that actor again that was killed horrifically in Django – he plays, one could say, a CSI equivalent. He plays a CSI equivalent in the 1800s as a black male. So he's a phenomenal actor. I'll find his name in a moment. But you have to go to BBC America. You have to go to AMC TV. You have to go to the internet sometimes to actually look for some of the stuff that might be seen later on in the States, but if you want to see it now through certain means, I'll leave it at that, through certain means, you can see it on the internet. HBO, Showtime, these are the places you're going to have to go to see what you want to see. Fringe is closing out at the top of 2013. It's closing out on a high note with perhaps one of the greatest sci-fi series I've seen in a long time. So you have to know where to go and what to see. Sci-fi with Warehouse 13. Phenomenal programming on sci-fi. They have some crap on there too. But if you create your own menu, as I was saying before, you create your own menu, you'll do fine. Captain, any thoughts? Maybe you might want to go further into this idea of everything being spaced out on TV, Netflix and all that kind of thing. Arrested Development. Arrested Development is coming back on Netflix. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, when it comes to TV, understand this. I wasn't really following TV at all for the longest, since the X-Files. First couple of seasons of X-Files, I would say the first 3.5 years, I followed that hard, and then I was like, that's enough. They're just spinning their wheels now with this. And that was it. I didn't really watch anything. I didn't really watch anything at all. Now, of course, you can DVR everything. DVR is actually a great device, by the way. You know, when it first came out, I was like, this is a waste of time. But now that you have these type of devices, you don't have to be in front of a TV at the given time when it's going on. This is huge because a lot of us just don't have time to run somewhere, and a lot of times it's not even worth it running somewhere to say, I have to watch this now. DVR is huge. Because of the advent of DVR, you go, okay, let me go ahead and watch this and go, you know what?
this is a lot better than I thought. This is worth watching. Now, maybe I can actually go from one place and rush back over to another place to go watch it. It's worth watching. Internet is another place where you could pick up and watch some of these shows. Presently, I'm following Arrow. That's dealing with the DC Green Arrow. That's their version of it. I'm watching that right now. That's pretty good. To my surprise, it's pretty good. And also the Sherlock Holmes, the American version, with Lucy Liu. Been watching
Elementary,
that.
Right?
Yeah, Elementary, yes, Elementary. Been watching that. It's all right. It's not great. Those two right now following. I thought the Misfits, the great Afro nerd, put me on to the Misfits. I thought that was very good. Excellent. That had some very good episodes. And to the listener, I would recommend you go into the archives. Not the archives of the show, but you have to find those episodes online. Maybe through nefarious means. But, you know, it's worth watching.
Well, sometimes by YouTube. Unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, YouTube catches a lot of this stuff as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Well, there you go. You know, that's definitely worth watching. So, I have to definitely agree. The TV has gotten better. You know, for individuals such as myself who really was not really into TV for a very long time, I have to give it credit. It has definitely improved. There is something for everybody. Everybody. It's just stretched out. It's very wide. And you just have to know where to find what you want. But there is something there for you. Back over to you, Sir Afternoon.
Yeah, I'm going into the chat room, very festive, and I'm mentioning things that we might have forgotten to mention. Of course, Alphas. Second season of Alphas just wrapped up. Suits from USA TV. USA TV
yes.
has a lot of great shows.
Yes, they
back
do.
Back to back. You know, some shows have been canceled, unfortunately, on USA, but Suits is for those who believe in, I wouldn't classify it as a superhero show by any means of a stretch of imagination, but the lawyer has a power, an eidetic memory. So, in some ways, it's so funny, but it's so many ways, Captain, you're starting to see that even shows that are quote-unquote straight shows,
mm-hmm.
the character has some kind of ability
mm-hmm.
that makes it interesting. Sherlock has an ability. Sherlock is almost like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
That is in Elementary, and even in the Cumberbatch vehicle. Hyper-intelligence, hypersensitivity, or whatever you want to call it, person of interest, is essentially Batman. He is Batman. They even have Ace the Dog there. I can make the comparisons in some of this stuff. I mean, really. So there's a lot to go. You know, CBS actually has a lot of programming that I find myself having a block of time with. You know, if you factored Elementary, Big Bang Theory, Elementary, and Person of Interest, that's a block right there that CBS has of my time. You know, well, I should be honest, if I'm not DVRing it. And that's something else that the powers that be are going to have to get a handle on, is that in the modern era, folks just do not have the time. They're looking at these programs, especially younger folk, are looking at these programs on their phones. They're looking at these programs on their iPads, on their Xboxes. There's so many ways of looking at television shows in a non or unconventional manner. They're reluctant to really tabulate the viewership by these means, but they're going to have to. We even spoke about Battlestar Galactica returning on YouTube, effectively, with Battlestar Galactica BSG Blood and Chrome, which I think just closed out a few episodes by way of YouTube. So YouTube and the Internet have become excellent forays into getting programming, and legitimate programming that's not necessarily done on the cheap. Q-Storm is referencing Hulu and Netflix. These are options now to find even original programming. Netflix is going to start having original programming. So it's a wonderful year, or has been a wonderful year, to be a nerd or a geek. Or should I say, I suspect many folks are getting the nerd or geek virus. And Captain knows this for himself, that there are folks that come up to us in the gym that they can't help but get engaged in these lengthy conversations about the nerd world because they caught the bug. You know, we go on and on with folks that on site wouldn't necessarily classify themselves as nerds or geeks, but they're tapping into this universe now. They can't help it. Because if you have a phone, what are you going to use your phone for? Your phone is a smartphone. Your phone, your iPad, your Xbox, your PS3, all this is tapping into the nerd world. And it's something that, you know, it's a virus that's catching on, thankfully, I think. I did want to also touch on what to expect in 2013. And, again, a lot of stuff here, folks, a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, there's a movie that I must confess, I saw the trailer for it. I believe it's coming out sometime in the summer of 2013 with Seth Rogen, James Franco, and a lot of your more popular comedic actors. What was I thinking of? Well, the actors, you know, the hot actors for the moment. Oh, yeah, Jonah. What's the guy's name? Why can't I think of? You know what I'm talking about, Captain. He's a heavyset actor.
It escapes me.
Jonah. Anyway, these guys are going to be playing themselves. Jonah Hill. They're going to be playing themselves in a movie called This Is the End. This is the end.
Okay, yes. I saw the trailer, yes.
I admit, see, that's that crew that might be bringing back the funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an original concept, but these guys are playing themselves, the actors playing themselves, if the world were to come to an end. Pretty interesting stuff. We have a caller. Let's open the lines. I think I know who it is, but let's get into it anyway. Caller 916, tell us who you are, where you're calling from. Welcome to the Comic Shop.
Gentlemen, this is Big Sexy. You want to just drop in, say hi?
What's up, man?
And
Happy New Year to you.
Hey, thank you. Same to you guys. First thing, I just got on the laptop because I was at the gym, and I heard you mention Big Bang Theory. I love Big Bang Theory. I'm glad it's getting all the press that it does. But on other, and I hate to use the phrase, but on a lot of other geek-related sites, they get a lot of hate for that show. I don't know why. But a lot of, you know, blogs I follow that are critical of that show, in my opinion, a lot of the people who are making the criticisms are really just like the characters. And that's not a problem. But it's like, dude, just relax and have some fun with it. Now, having said that, and I know this is very premature, but have you seen the commercials for this thing on TBS coming up, The King of the Nerds? That looks like some bullshit.
It's called the. Now, actually, you put one on me. He's called the King of the Nerds.
Yes, it's hosted by Robert Carradine and, oh god, the guy who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds, and nerd type people, and they're going to put them all in the house. It's some reality nonsense, but I just think they're trying to pimp the popularity of the Big Bang Theory and all of this so-called geek nerd culture. This, though, the trailer is just terrible. It is terrible. Tracy Morgan, terrible.
Okay.
Oh, wow. That stinks. In that case. Well, you know what? As far as the Big Bang Theory, we spoke about this as well. I don't know what these people want. I mean, you know, Daryl B., we have gotten to the battle royales with each other about him wanting to keep this world a closed one. And sometimes I feel that way, but I've grown accustomed to the world expanding. Perhaps when I go to Comic-Con and I see scantily dressed, clad women has opened my eyes to the possibilities. I'm only so nerdy, ladies and gentlemen, in that regard. So he has, you know, he seems to not like it when the world has expanded, and we get into these battles, and some folks take umbrage with Big Bang Theory. The only issue I have with Big Bang is I want to see Jaleel White, who was a former employee of CBS. You know, if you remember, Family Matters was on ABC, and then I think the last one or two seasons, when it was on its way out, after like a 9-season run, it was on CBS. He will be a perfect person to at least make a cameo. I mean, we've seen other folks of color. We've seen LeVar Burton show up maybe once or twice. So I like the cameos, but once again, And I've spoken about this on Afro-Nerd Radio. There was even a New York Times Magazine article, which I would implore our audience to check out, that talked about this idea of nerdiness being an uber white phenomenon, and that many white kids accept it, many white kids reject it, because they would opt to be quote unquote black cool. But black cool and nerdiness, or black cool and having and a sense of intelligence, you know where this is going, gentlemen. They don't really mix when they should be able to mix. That's what's problematic. So I would like to see, they should have another character of color on Big Bang Theory besides the Indian gentleman. You know, just because. Why? Jaleel White was the quintessential nerd of the 90s who was a CBS employee. Why hasn't he made even not as Urkel, but something like Urkel, Urkel Light? The audience would get a kick out of it. But blackness and nerdiness, if you notice, they can't exist in the same space. That's the only problem I have with Big Bang Theory.
Fair enough.
What do you think? You love the Big Bang Theory, Big Sexy. What is it? Do you agree with me on that? Or what do you think?
You know,
we could see some nerdy folks there.
You know, I've seen some before. I mean, they've had Rick Foxfield do a guest star.
I saw that.
They've had Neil deGrasse Tyson on there a couple times, you know. But as far as Jaleel White, I don't know if he'd want to go back to that well, though. That's the thing. Now,
not as Urkel, but just as a scientist, like a rival scientist.
Well, maybe something different than Urkel. Then again, maybe, you know, maybe the numbers don't add up. You know, I don't know what he's doing presently.
He has a show that's coming out with, I believe, in 2013.
Sci-fi. It's on now, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, definitely.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. In fact, the only problem and criticism that I have of the show is for four, quote-unquote, well, three nerds. I'm not going to count Sheldon because he's kind of asexual. But for three nerds, they're getting some pretty major action. You know, come on now. You know, the lead guy, Leonard, and any, like, she would ever give him the time of day in real life. We all know that's nonsense. And then he's hooking up, you know, with these other hot chicks. Come on now, please. But I understand it's cool to aspire to get the hot chick. That's fine. But, fellas, you know. You and I both know they're not going to be rolling up on some hot woman with a PhD talking about, I work at Caltech, let's hook it up. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's just kind of a stretch.
Quickly on comic books for the year 2012. Well, I'm kind of moving around a little bit. Actually, let me talk more about 2013 because we only have a few minutes remaining, and I want to keep BS on the line because we have a few minutes remaining. What are your thoughts on what to expect for next year? I mean, you know, it seems like as if each year I have said, as I said earlier, it's the year of the nerd, but then the stakes are raised higher exponentially. I don't know how much higher it could be with Avengers and Batman in the same universe, but then 2015 we're expecting Avengers and JLA. That's going to, you know, I don't know if I can even handle that, to be honest with you. But for 2013, there's a lot of stuff going on, though. We have to admit we have Thor coming out.
Superman.
We have Superman coming out. There's a whole lot of stuff. Actually, there's a movie, even a smaller movie, Warm Bodies, I think it's coming out in February, which is kind of a Walking Dead film, but with the zombie coming back to humanity, which is kind of a reverse take of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that fairly interesting. I mean,
World War Z, isn't it with Tom Cruise?
World War
Z. Tom Cruise?
No, that's Brad Pitt.
That's Brad Pitt, okay,
Brad Pitt, but Oblivion with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman is coming out.
Mm-hmm. That's the sci-fi, yeah.
Oz, The Great and Powerful, which I think James Franco is going to be in, which is a prequel to Oz. That's coming out. Carrie, the Redux of Carrie is coming out. That should be interesting.
I mean, we can go on. G.I. Joe's, Joe's coming out. I was never really a big fan of the last one, but you know, I'm throwing it in there for the sake of discussion. Jurassic Park allegedly is coming out. Jurassic Park 3D comes out. Scary Movie 5. The Evil Dead reboot comes out. Iron Man 3. Excuse me. Iron Man 3 comes out.
Yes.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yes.
Comes out. I mean, it's never ending. So I don't know. You know, matter of fact, Man of Steel comes out June 14th. The following week, World War Z. The week after that, Kick-Ass 2 comes out, gentlemen.
Okay.
What shall I do? What am I going to
Kick-Ass
do? Lone Ranger comes out. No, Lone Ranger comes out. I'm you know, I might see that. Intellectually, I would want to see Lone Ranger, but this I hope it just can't suck. It just can't suck.
What's coming in April, though? You know?
Well, early May, Iron Man comes out. April.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I can tell you what's coming out in April. April's going to be pretty hot. You have Oblivion, as I mentioned, with Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park 3D. You have Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Scary Movie 5. You know, if you're into that kind of thing, that's what I see so far.
All right, there's one movie
and
that I'll see. That's it.
G.I. Joe comes out a week before March 29th. So there's a lot of things coming in. After Earth comes out in June. That's the vehicle with the Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith and Son. That's coming out. Oh, and I just mentioned This Is the End. Just to give you what's out in June. After Earth, Man of Steel, This Is the End, World War Z, Kick-Ass 2. All that is in June. A lot of stuff going on, gentlemen.
Okay.
300, the sequel to 300 comes out in August.
That's going to be big.
You know, I mean, that's going to be big. Red 2, which is the sequel to Red, which is a comic book with Bruce Willis. Assassins. Red actually made money, so I guess, you know, they're definitely going to go back into that well again. Wolverine comes out in July. You know what?
There's a lot going on.
I'm not so sure if I can call it correctly. And a lot of stuff I'm actually glossing over that I have not mentioned. A portrait of James Dean, that's something I'm just looking on this list now. That I might want to check out. I was a James Dean fan from his, of course, he's, you know, out of here at age 24. That might be interesting. You have to wait and see. Riddick comes back.
Oh,
looking at
Star. I have to see that. Woo.
Actually, you know, we mentioned this before, The Tomb.
Okay.
The Tomb, I believe that's the vehicle with Schwarzenegger and the best of Stallone and 50 Cent. Sin City comes out in October. The sequel.
Okay.
Spike Lee's Old Boy comes out in October.
Ah, okay. Next year.
Get this. After years, Best Man 2 comes out.
Yeah.
Now, that's more of an Afro nerd thing. I actually like Best Man. That was with Terrence Howard.
No, it was good at the time. Definitely good at the time.
That was one of the better black films, I thought.
Yes.
So Best Man 2. Hunger Games comes back again. The sequel. So I can go on and on. Actually, what is this? That's Gambit. Is that the X-Men's Gambit? Anchorman comes out also. Jack Ryan. Bad Santa 2. I don't know how you're going to do Bad Santa. Well, who? Yeah, Bad Santa had two departed people. John Ritter and, why can't I think of them? who just died, the black comedian that died. I'm losing my memory, Captain. Died at the age of 50. You know who I'm thinking of, Captain. Black comedic actor. Can't think of his. Bernie Mac. Thank you, Sergio. Jesus, I need some ginseng. Bernie Mac. Now, John Ritter was. Well, I like John Ritter as well, but John Ritter's gone. Bernie Mac is gone. I don't know. Puto said, "Yeah, Afro, what's up?" I promise you a better memory in 2013, gentlemen. All right, we got about 4 minutes remaining, actually, Captain. Any thoughts on 2012 and what to expect in 2013 before we go into next door to Afro Radio for that year in review? And also, I'm going to talk about slavery a little bit more in depth. Not so much about Django, but more about slavery the next period, the next show.
Well, it seems like we're getting more faster. That just seems – what I mean by that is you're able to get a lot of product in a short amount of time. I should say decent product. That's what seems like what's happening going forward. If we could remember a generation ago, you wouldn't get all these movies just boom, 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 lining up like that. And just based on the title, we haven't seen all of them now as of yet. It looks like it's going to be a very interesting year.
You know what, Captain? Because of Twitter, because of Facebook, because of the internet in general, people are able to actually vocalize their like and dislikes in an instant.
Yeah, speed.
And the studios are listening. You know, the bloggers are speaking out on this stuff. I just saw test footage, and you can go to our Facebook presence for Afro-Nerd Radio, and there's test footage out there of Hong Kong Fooey, as voiced by Eddie Murphy, and a Marvin the Martian trailer that's coming up. Well, actually, those have been dismantled. They're not coming out. And maybe rightfully so. Maybe rightfully so. So these folks are very tepid to put out junk when you have a public that can tell you it's crap in an instant. In an instant. All right, listen, folks. It's been an absolute pleasure. Pleasurable year, actually, in the world of pulp, comic book, sci-fi. We didn't even talk about video gaming. I think 2013 is going to be the last year of the Xbox 360. Xbox 720 is forthcoming. So even the tried and true video games and video gaming consoles, they're on their way out as well. Captain, time to make a move. Now I got to find our closeout music, if I can do that. Any thoughts as I find this music? About 2012, 2013?
Well, thinking about the video games, I'm not really big on video games, but that next version, we spoke about this before earlier in the year, it looks like something I might have to take a little time out and get into. It looks incredible. A little bit that we've seen, little glimpses and everything else, it's really next level, that Xbox, the next one that they're coming with. So this year is going to be something. This 2013 definitely going to be something. Serious business.
Well, I'm so comfortable with Xbox 360 and PS3. It better be exceptional for me to make that transition. It probably will.
You're going to drop the money.
Yeah, probably will. Because it's going to have to be exponentially better. And we have to get, you know, Xbox 360 has been around for almost a decade.
Yes.
So I'm assuming there's been some improvements in the 7 or 8 years of its existence. All right, folks, let's go on in. It's been a pleasure. Have a happy new year. Stick around for Afro Radio coming up next. All right, let's go on out, Captain.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
hear black people say that so-and-so set us two steps back. Now, just to see how far back black people are right now, we got a chart provided by the American Black Progress Association. Now, let's check out the chart. Now, you also hear black people say that we're almost there. Well, as of today, there is 3,653 steps away. Now, every time we've made strides, we've been upset by missteps. You know, in 1960, SNCC and CORE stayed sit-ins. It's a great time for black people, you know, putting us ahead four steps, one, two, three, four. But in 1988, the Crips and Bloods stayed shootout, putting black people six steps back and 6 feet under. Hey, now what happened? Roots comes on, gives black people a sense of pride. 5 steps forward. And Roots begins a trend of names, of African names, beginning with Kenzie and Kuta, and ending with Sucretia, Beyonce. 11 steps back. 11 steps back. Beyonce, come on. What else happened? Mae Jameson, the first black woman to go out of space, blasts us 15 steps ahead. But then Little Kim, the first black woman with a kitty out, let us love it. 42 steps back.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to issue this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funky lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in the cosmos, where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Happy, happy New Year, folks. Once again, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Folks, we have a lot to talk about. Actually, I have my own personal reflections on slavery. I must admit that this Django Unchained film is getting a lot of space in my brain. I'm looking up slavery, and I'm always looking up these things anyway, but with more veracity, more passion, am I looking these things up? And, you know, just to reacquaint myself with the heinous historical crime. But there's a lot of things, a lot of implications that come with slavery that I want to really get into, as well as briefly just what has transpired in 2012. I mean, this has been a phenomenal year. We've lost a lot of top-flight artists, top-flight celebrities, top-flight notables. So we want to talk about this, try to encapsulate this for this evening. We only have about an hour, so we'll get to it. Folks, also, a personal shout-out to Sergio Mims, friend of the show. Sergio, the light is shining on you, sir. Listening to Open Line New York this morning, and Nelson George, famed filmmaker and author, as well as equally famous filmmaker, Warrington Hutland of the infamous Hutland Brothers, both name-dropped Shadow and Act as the go-to site for black film knowledge, black films nationally and internationally. They said that is the site, the number one site to go to, sir. So kudos to you. Congratulations for those gentlemen to name drop you on the radio. Was great. It was great. Okay, let's get into it, folks, quickly. This is Who Knows? Who Knows? Jimi Hendrix. We'll be back quickly. Blast the funk, and into 2012. Hold on, folks. Let's groove.
No worries. Rouse the welcome back to some old friends. band of gypsies.
Once again, welcome to Afro Radio, the year in review edition of Afro Radio of 2012. That was Jimi Hendrix with the band of gypsies, who knows, now a rock standard. One thing I wish for 2013 is that black folks take back Jimi Hendrix. That's what I want for 2013, Captain. I want black folks to take back Jimi Hendrix because really he is a mainstream white rock hero. Even though he's of African descent, he is a white guitar god for whites, which is really for everyone, but blacks have not really embraced Jimi Hendrix. Not like they should. I'm just putting it out there. And speaking of the Captain, time is of the essence. You're needed on the bridge. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Okay, sir, Desmond, I'll be brief with this statement. Really quick. Someone asked me about Michael Vick and what's wrong with Michael Vick. For the uninitiated, Michael Vick is a football player who plays quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And before he went to prison, he played for the Atlanta Falcons.
So the person asked me, what's going on with Michael Vick? I said, you have the obvious. The team sucks. That's the first thing. But also, Michael Vick did go to prison. What happens when you go to prison? You lose time, and sometimes your best years might be behind you. How so, Captain? Very simple. Remember when Muhammad Ali went to prison? Muhammad Ali, before he went to prison, was incredible. When he came out of prison, though he was able to still dominate his opponents, he wasn't as good. Dropped off. So now imagine if Muhammad Ali never went to prison. Moving right along. Mike Tyson. Oh, we all know Mike Tyson very well. We have Mike Tyson before prison. We have Mike Tyson after prison. We also have Mike Tyson, the great boxer, underneath Customato. Monstrous, unbeatable. Wasn't the same after prison. Oh, there's more. We have someone called Plaxico Burress. For the uninitiated, Plaxico Burress played wide receiver for the New York Giants. Then he was carrying a gun in his pocket and went off in some club. Then he went to prison. Came out of prison, started playing football for the New York Jets. Wasn't the same player after prison. Now, going into 2013, in retrospect, let's try to just stay out of prison. Things do happen in life, but let's just try to stay out of prison. That's all I wanted to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yes, just one correction there, Captain. Muhammad Ali didn't go to prison. What happened was he was, I guess, a conscientious objector on the grounds of religion. He refused to fight in the Vietnam War, and his boxing license was stripped from him for 4 years, so he was not allowed to box. It was like prison for him because he wasn't allowed to box for 4 years because of his because it went to the Supreme Court. He was not allowed to box because of his stance with the Vietnam War. He was very famous, that whole deal. And listen, if you're going to take a stand on something, that might be what you would want to do. That he was cut from a different cloth. So just that one note. You know, we always want to give correct information here at AfroNerd, but that's just one thing. He was able to get out of going to prison. He could have easily gone to prison, but he just was not allowed to box for 4 years. All right. Folks, feel free to jump on in. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Something briefly I want to get into, and I've been thinking about it incessantly. Since this past Christmas, and I was fortunate enough to see Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained, we've been talking about it quite a bit for the last couple of shows. And I guess the sign of a great piece of art is that it sticks with you, whether it's a song or an actual piece of art or a movie, a film. It just sticks with you. There's something about this film that just sticks with me. So I've been obsessive about looking up slavery, kind of reacquainting myself with this infamous and heinous institution. And, you know, I looked up the Dred Scott decision, and that within itself is worthy of a cinematic effort, the Dred Scott decision. I think there was like a PBS show on Dred Scott, but I mean a real full-blown TV or movie. There's a lot of things, but I don't want everything to be about slavery also. We saw that during the blaxploitation period where we had a lot of slavery films, so that could also be a quicksand kind of thing. Anyway, when you go online, ladies and gentlemen, and you do your own search on slavery, just simply input is plenty of algorithms on this stuff. Just input slavery, American slavery, U.S. slavery, what have you. And also, if you just put in Django Unchained, you will see quite a few, which I guess would be expected, folks, quite a few disturbing commenters on the reactions to Django Unchained. There are folks who would describe themselves as white, you know, you don't know who you really are talking to online, but they are self-described folks that are white that are commenting on this. You're enlightened white folks. I don't like to brush everyone with the same stroke. The enlightened white folks get it, and they're going to see this movie in droves. It's going to make its money, folks. Oh, it's going to make its money. But you still have the racist hanger-ons, these, dare I say, these relics of the past still hanging on. And they'll say things, well, slavery was 400 years ago. It happened 400 years ago. Why are black people still talking about this? Get over it. I'm Irish. We had a potato famine. We had suffering. I'm Italian. We had suffering. No one has suffered like black folks in this peculiar experiment. I'm not going to disparage other ethnic groups that had their suffering. Of course, other ethnic groups. The Native American has suffered and continues to suffer and continues to suffer. But the uniqueness of slavery, American slavery, cannot be discounted. And it is amazing that folks can say what they say. And they go to a certain level and they stop. They go to a certain level and they stop. You just can't say slavery ended 400 years ago, because it didn't end 400 years. That's one thing that's thrown out there. It ended 400 years ago. No, it didn't end 400 years ago. It started 400 years ago. It didn't end 400 years ago. It ended about 150, 160 years ago. You have folks that live beyond 100 now. You have folks that have lived where their parent would have been a slave. So let's not pretend that we are so far removed from the slavery experience. And as I think about it, many of the discussion, much of the discourse to this day can be brought back to slavery. Now, here at AfroNerd, they know I have a conservative bent. And I do try to impart on people of color that we can't stay mired in victimization. But it doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge that we were victims. It's not that you don't acknowledge it, but you don't let it cripple you. You don't let it paralyze you. That's my issue with how black folks have taken on the slavery issue. It was horrific. It can be certainly akin to rape. But even the rape victim has to get up off the ground, acknowledge the assault, and figure a way to move on. But as far as what continues to happen to this day, oh, very much I see that slavery is still very much in effect in our minds, how we speak to each other. The fact that we still have arguments about the worthiness of the N-word, of the word nigga, nigger, that whole debate is rooted in slavery. The fact that you can call the president, tweet out, get this nigger off the stage, I want to see my football, that's slavery. When we still talk about colorism and we make decisions based on colorism outside and inside the black community, that is still slavery. Our women and their penchant for Caucasian hair hats and Afro-Saxon toupees, that is slavery. Our surnames, whether they be Burton or Johnson or Williams or Jenkins, you name it, that's slavery staring at you at the face. So when people say, I'm talking like a Fox News person now, when people say that it's time for you to get over it, not that easy when you see the discussions and the level of discourse that continue to this day. The way that we talk to each other, our problems, our paralysis. Still about slavery, folks. It's still there. It's still there. A fresh wound. And it is disrespectful for some of these people to tell you to get over it. We had apartheid in this country and lynchings after slavery. After slavery. You have minstrel programming, which I talk about all the time, folks, so you should be aware of it by now. We talked about this last week. all my baby's mamas coming to an oxygen network by you, near you. That is slavery. The minstrel industry, hip-hop, housewives, whatever you want to call it, Atlanta housewives, all this minstrel programming and the lack of diversity within the black experience in 2012, that's slavery looking at you in the face. Let's go. We're going to go to the year 2012 also. I had to talk about this, folks, because it's in my mind. We have to get over this hump. But for folks to tell us to forget slavery, very difficult when you see what you see, even in the new millennium. Let's open up the lines. I see, I think, our friend, Mr. Mims, is in abeyance. Let's bring him on in. I think this is him. Sergio.
It's me.
Is that you?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes. Welcome, sir.
Two things, very fast. I won't do the whole show. Number one is that one of the great things about Django, and as I've written about, is that the fact that it is controversial. I think there should be movies where people get upset, people talk about. It gets people talking. Now, whether you like it or not, that's fine. But how many movies you see in which you don't feel anything? You come out of the theater saying, well, that was okay, I guess. You know, that was all right. But a movie that gets people actually talking, I think that's so rare nowadays that if for one thing, Django is great for that. And I think it's admirable that, you know, Tarantino made a film. Well, all his films do that to some way, but not to this extent. The other thing is that the thing I want to throw out there is that one of the things that gets particularly black people upset is the fact that could a black filmmaker make a film like this? And the argument is that no, because the powers that be would not allow a black filmmaker to make a film like this. I argue, and I've written about this before on Shadow and Egg, thanks for the plug, is that could an African-American director make a film about slavery? I argue no, because what you just talked about right now, the psychological chains are still so strong that there's an issue. You know, if you look at movies that have been made about slavery, with the exception of Night John, which was a TV movie made by Charles Burnett, and there's a short film called Morning Dew, that played the festival circus, directed by Barbara Allen. Most films, there have been very few movies about slavery made by black filmmakers, and those black filmmakers, they're not African American. There's Sankofa, Bahala Jerima, he's Ethiopian. There's 12 Years a Slave that's coming out next year by Steve McQueen, he's British. So do African Americans directors have a psychological barrier against making a film? You know, that prevent them from making a film about slavery? That's something to throw out there.
Well, you know, Serge, one thing, you know, during the broadcast with Open Line, where they name dropped Shadow and Act, and appropriately so, the callers, we had callers that were, I guess, acolytes of Spike Lee. It came off like
right,
that.
Uh-huh.
I love Spike Lee. I'm a Spike Lee stan. But you had these hot fun in the summertime, quasi sometimey Negroes. Sometimey radical Negroes calling up, talking about, I didn't see the film. I don't want to see the film. I mean, they sounded crazy. I don't want to see the film because it's going to disrespect me, da-da-da-da. I said, and even Entume had mentioned this, you cannot be an uninformed critic. Even if you don't like something, you need to see it. I can't say I don't like sushi. I've never eaten sushi. So these folks, I don't know, even Spike Lee has disappointed me with this whole thing, I don't like it, but I didn't see it. You sound like an idiot. And something else that's important to note, about this thing, and I'm going to tap into what you just mentioned. You might have a black person that would put together something like this, if you want to be honest about it. But the reality is that if a black person were to do a film like this, it would be perceived as a black man venting. When a white man does it, oh, it's artistic. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of art. And that is the slavery part of it. The fact that you can make value judgments based on skin color, although the product can be still the same. So we have to be fair. It's the world that we're living in that makes it difficult for black folks to actually put out their own stories with that degree of efficacy and passion. But I have to give it up. I'm stuck with this film. This film is going to stick with me, and it should. And one more thing I have to mention to these people, these, as I said, hot fun in the summertime, quasi sometimey Negro, radical Negroes from stuck in the 60s. Sergio, I know what you're talking about because you saw this thing. Where are you going to find a movie, a black movie, where a black man who is married is the savior of his fine black woman without minstrelsy, without a really overarching white savior on top of you? The white savior wasn't even there that long. He was there for a minute, but he wasn't the whole movie. And you're able to fire hot lead into the white asses of your oppressors. What do black people want? You're able to fire hot lead in the buttocks of the oppressor, and you still don't like it. But you let decades of minstrels get a pass. But a white man gave you the ability to shoot hot lead into his butt. I don't like it. We have a problem. That's slavery. That is slavery.
It goes back to that whole shootout at the end in the climax in the plantation. It's taken from Florida's Big Ripoff. When Jim Brown goes to get after Ed McMahon, he kills all these white guys in this club. Right, it's the same thing. You have to go back to the blaxploitation era. And by the way, you do mention something. This film is getting surprisingly a large female audience, black female audience. And the reason why they're going to see it is because here's a black man who goes through hell and high water to save his woman. Now, when's the last time you saw that anywhere? You don't see a Tyler Perry movie.
Last time we were, on the black side of things, our men are wearing dresses.
Right. What you get, this whole Tyler Perry thing, one of the things I can't stand about him is this whole metaphor for emasculation. Having a black man in a dress is symbolically, metaphorically castrating the black man. And people are enjoying that because they have a hatred of black men. Here's a black man, I'm talking about Django, who, goes through hell and high water to save his wife. Not to do this or to do that, but he's saving the woman he loves. And women see that and they go like, Jesus Christ, I haven't seen this in years.
And I'm speechless as to why people are critiquing this thing in the way, even fool-ass Cat Williams. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to go into him because he doesn't count. I'm sorry.
No, I just read what he said. I mean, of all the people who have nerves.
Stay out of jail. Stay out of jail.
He just got arrested again last night. And by the way, as I mentioned, folks here, you know, people are slightly criticizing the use of the word nigger. As someone pointed out to me, they did a count. And in Bamboozled, Spike uses the word nigger 56
times. 58
times.
Yeah.
58 times. I'm off by two. 58 times, right? So where does he come from, attacking someone else? You know, I really believe that the majority of people who are putting down the film, black people putting down the film, the thing that sticks in their craw, this is really what it comes down to. It was a white guy who made the film. That what bothers them. I guarantee you, if a black guy had made this picture, there wouldn't be a problem. Let's face it, as I mentioned on the show last time, Quentin Tarantino has the box office clout to make a film like this. I wish there was a black director who did. I really wish there was.
Hold on for a moment, Sergio. We have another caller. Okay. And one other thing, I already said this on Facebook because I'm going to bring out the nerd in me. Since Marvel has all these excuses of making this African Batman-esque, you know, they're saying, it's going to be difficult. You can make a make-believe Asgard with Thor, but to have an African nation, that's going to be difficult. A super scientific African nation, we can't seem to do that. So I'm thinking, we got to get Tarantino on the case. I'm going to write a letter, seriously, to Tarantino and explain to him, we need you to be our official black filmmaker. If you're going to get that, I'm being somewhat facetious, but I do want him on top of this Black Panther thing because I want this film. If he was on top of it, because that movie would be violent It would be a lot of political intrigue. It would be a black man, a real black thinking superhero. That's where you want to go. We went from the past with the slavery stuff. Now here's the future. I don't know. We still want to be put in dresses, obviously, Sergio. So let me go to the callers. Hold on one moment. Then we're going to talk about 2012. Caller, welcome to Afternoon. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, 301. I think I know what it is.
This is Black Achievement. How you doing, Afro Dirt?
Yay, man. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah. Let me just piggyback on Sergio. Because he is absolutely correct and extremely perceptive, as he typically is when it comes to this cinema. No question, he's right. Quentin Tarantino has, I don't know if he intended, but he has tapped into that black woman movie-going audience. Black women flocked this week to see that movie like 40 Going North. I can tell you this. I agree that a black person, black director, black filmmaker would not have gotten $83 million to do an epic or whatever on slavery. It's not happening. He did not get that type of backing. He's a black director would not get a Christmas Day opening. And more so than that, black people, in my opinion, because I think if a black director had this movie, it would have taken a different turn to it. Because I've heard white critics, Sergio, he even responded to this, I heard them refer to Django as a comedy. This film
That's funny.
I've heard it, this film referred to as a comedy.
You know, there was some moron on MSNBC today, this brother, he was from a website. I think it was from The Griot. He was on MSNBC because NBC owns The Griot. And he was talking about Django. And he made the stupid comment that, you know, well, slavery, it makes slavery kind of cool or something. I beg your pardon? You know, look, the fact that, like I said, there's 12 years of slaves coming next year, which is, you see, but look at that. That's a film, has a black director, he's British. Okay, that film was produced by Plan B, which is Brad Pitt's production company. Brad Pitt is in the movie along with Michael Fassbender. That's the only way that film could have been made when Brad Pitt put his muscle behind that film, and he got Steve McQueen to direct it. And it's going to be a much more serious film. Now, all the people who are criticizing Django, I want to see if they're going to come out to see this.
No, they probably won't.
I really if they're going to come out, okay, here's a serious film, you know, about a true story of a free black man who was kidnapped and brought back to the South, and for 12 years he lived a slave. It's based on a real book. Sullivan Northrup. And actually, that was made into a PBS movie years ago, directed by Gordon Parks. But here's the thing is that are you going to support that movie? Are you going to support that film? Because how many times have we heard, you got to go out and support this movie to show Hollywood, and nobody goes to see the picture?
Right.
I've seen that over and over and over and over again. People like to run their mouths, and we talk about it all the time on Shadow Act. People don't want to see it. You know, the reason why is because people want to see – people don't like castor oil movies. That's what I call them, castor oil movies, movies that are good for you but hard to take down, right?
Right.
Django tells you something, but it's done in an entertaining way.
Right.
You know? It's like giving you medicine, but you put something sweet in it so it'll go down, right? Okay, but a movie like The Great Debaters, a movie like Beloved, a movie like you can go over and over again all these serious black films that were made that we were supposed to go out and support to show Hollywood a message. People see a movie because they want to, not because they have to.
Yes. And let me also add what you were saying. I think Quentin Tarantino, who's a brilliant filmmaker, although I'm not saying he misappropriated or he took liberally, But he did take a little bit from some places. Like, I know he's a big fan of black
He does that in every movie. He does that in every film.
He took a little Mandingo. I know he's. Matter of fact, I think he probably used the same slave homes down in Louisiana in this film. It appeared to be anyway. But he took a little bit from a lot of different places, you know.
No, he took from, I said, Salisbury Ripoff. He took from Mandingo. He took from Goodbye, Uncle Tom. You should check that film out. He took from Blazing Saddles. He took from The Skin Game.
Yes.
He took from the Scalp Hunters. He took from, I just realized today, another movie he took from. He doesn't know his movies. All his movies are, you know, they're film geek land.
Yeah.
Here's something. Now, if you don't know the movies, you think it's original. But
Sergio, one quick thing with Goodbye, Uncle Tom. Was that an Italian movie?
Yes, it was. The Italian film is filmed by two Italian guys.
That's a pretty disturbing movie. I think I actually have that movie. Isn't that young white girls walking around with naked white black boys, black slaves? It was weird, man.
Right. I mean, the premise, I think you can see it online. When that film opened in New York, there were riots. They were riots. They had to pull that movie.
It's a disturbing film. It is disturbing.
Right. It's a film where these two, the premise is these two, like, modern-day filmmakers somehow get transported back into slave times, and they pre-Bellum South, and they basically record unflinchingly, what went on in the South. It's a brutal movie. It's a disturbing film. And, it was really banned because when that film opened in some cities like New York and Chicago, they had to shut that film down. And as I said, I believe I've seen it online. So it is available online. You can just Google it and find it. But he takes from that. He takes from everything, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, when you mentioned Blazing Saddles, you're right. He took from that. Yeah.
I mean that scene with the guys who put on the hoods. That's right out. That's like an outtake from Blazing Saddles.
Oh,
right.
You
know. Right. What they said? Who was that nigga on the horse? You know, that's Levi Little coming to town. You know. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I mean, but you know, once again, I mean, I have to give him his props. He made the film. I mean, he may have been the only filmmaker who had the clout, and you know, to make the picture. Okay, that's fine. You know, I hope one day there will be a black filmmaker who could do that. As I said before, the only filmmakers I think who could have maybe made a film like this is probably the Hughes brothers, but they spent the last 2 years trying to do a live action version of Akira, and which didn't get off the ground.
Yeah,
so,
but it was co-produced by Reggie Hullin, by the way.
Right. I mean,
Reggie
actually was one of the persons who initiated this project. With conversations he had with Tarantino, who he's known for over a decade.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, even Reggie will admit that he didn't have the clout to direct a film like this, you know. But, you know, that's the business. That's how it is. And you know, what we have to do is to independently make films like this. Forget going to Hollywood. You know, Tarantino has got that sewn up, you know. Okay, fine. Tyler Perry has his own thing. He could make a film like this. Tyler Perry is not man enough to make a film like this.
Yeah,
you know where I'm going
You
know where I'm going
with this.
He's not man enough. He's not man enough to make a film like this. But
there are other black filmmakers.
I'm sure there are black filmmakers out there who have that vision. Like I said, the Hughes brothers, you know, who have that vision. I mean, you look at the Hughes brothers' work. They've done, you know, they did Menace Society. They did From Hell. They did Book of Eli. You know, I mean, they got a vision. And they, like I said, they were trying to do Akira. So, you know, they're out there. They have to do it independently. But that's the answer. If you want to see black filmmakers make films like this, then go out there independently. Look, Spike Lee raised the money independently to make Miracle of St. Anna. It was all Italian money. Okay. So he blew it. But, you know, it is possible to do that.
Well, one quick thing, because we do have to talk about the year 2012, but I do want to mention one thing. What B.A. is talking about, I mentioned that in the last show, that when I'm looking at these movies, I'm not just looking at the screen. I'm looking at the audience reaction. I saw a black woman smiling yeah. through a violent film. Because you know what it is.
I'll tell you what it is. It's real simple. It's really the first time in a long time you've seen black masculinity. That's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about soft stuff. I'm not talking about the Tyler Perry stuff. All those guys are soft. You know, they're not masculine. You know, I have to go back to Jim Brown. You know, or look at an actor like Idris Elba. That's masculinity on the screen. Now, Denzel Washington has it too, you know, but he doesn't play those kind of roles. He likes to play more complex roles, like in Flight, which is a great film, you know. But just sheer masculinity, or just the presence of a masculine black man on the screen, is something, right?
Well, that's what this film does. Something that really impressed me also, that where this film had a lot of gravitas, was even at the very end, where some might think this is campy, but this is that black S. I'm going to censor myself. But this is this black S that I saw that Tarantino threw in there. The trick that he did with the horse to impress his woman at the very end.
Like, yeah, during the cancer.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's some – I'm trying to neuter myself, I guess. But I mean, that's that impresses. It impresses your woman. You know, it's very masculine.
Right.
Hold on one second, sir. You are a black male winner, and we are constantly seeing, as you said, effete black men in dresses that are not able to bring it home for their women, for their wives. This movie needs to be a template for other centered black movies. And unfortunately, you will not see that. That's because I think it would be dangerous. I think this is the type of thing
that we should see. You may be right.
This is the deal. This movie should be a normative. It should be a normative for black culture. It should be a normative black cultural standard. Whites are able to see heroic whiteness every second of the day. We get one film that centers black masculinity, and we're in awe of it because it's not normative, but it should be normative. We need to see
and then you have black people who are upset, which about incredibly to me. You have black people who are upset about seeing black masculinity. I don't get that.
That's what we're talking about. Hot fun in the summertime, Negroes. Get rid of them.
But those individuals that are getting upset are those ones that didn't even see the movie.
Get rid of them. You can't be an uninformed critic. I'm sorry. Our friend from Chicago sees films and he critiques them. What kind of black person critiques something that he hasn't seen? Get rid of them.
Yes. Actually, believe it or not, there are some film critics who do that. They're called quote whores. They don't see the picture. They just give a quote to the studio, and they put them up on ads. You know.
But I didn't mean to stay this long.
But right, I'm sure there are black filmmakers out there who have a vision to do something different. I know they're out there. I know there are black filmmakers out there who want to explore other dimensions of black cinema. It's a, you know, look, no more rom-coms for Paula Patton. I know she's got one coming. Okay, enough. You know, she's got another one coming out sometime next year. You got three dark-skinned brothers all after Paula Patton. You know, I mean, jeez, you know.
Yeah, Paula Patton
is fine,
though.
I might want to see her in an
Afro Nerd production. I'm just putting it out there.
I don't see it. She leaves me very cold. She's sterile to me. I don't get her. I don't see any sexuality or sensuality coming out from her.
That's why I'm here. I have that third eye. I see it. I have that third eye. Yeah. I see it clear as day. Gentlemen, listen. Sirs, hold on for a moment. We're going to go to a quick groove. We do have to talk about 2012 in about 14 minutes. We're going to try. Big year, messy year, violent year of, wow, a lot of deaths. So, you know, Whitney Houston is no longer in the building. Jack Klugman is no longer in the building. A lot of folks, a lot of icons are no longer with us, so we have to mention it.
But by the way, can I mention something? Can I really mention something talking about? I really have to do this. I really have to do this because it means a lot to me. Maybe my dearest, closest friend in the whole wide world passed away this Christmas Eve.
Mm.
And talk about people who we will miss. Her name was Terry Glover. She was the managing editor of Ebony, but I had known her for 30 years. And I owe her so much. I put all her pictures on my Facebook page and everything. She is not only was she an extraordinary, beautiful woman, she just had a really beautiful spirit. And she leaves behind two wonderful daughters and her husband. And, you know, she basically for 30 years taught me how to embrace myself and love myself for who I am. And I owe her so much, so much. And as I said, she passed away Christmas Eve. And I said, that's Terry. You know, she wanted us to make a Christmas you will remember.
Wow.
And talk about people who passed away in 2012. That was even covered in Huffington Post, even had a piece on her. So
right.
I have to mention that. I really have to mention that.
Of course, and she's in our prayers as well. Sergio, hold on for a moment. We're going to go to a quick groove, and I want to talk about some of our celebrities, notables that have passed on. Whitney Houston, we have to acknowledge her. We'll be back in a moment. This is Mingus Murray, folks. Mingus Murray, Train Whistle, giving you the best of urban alternative. We'll be back in a few moments. Hold on. Let's groove.
I'm ready to go. More than enough.
Okay, folks, we're back again. I guess this gentleman was definitely channeling Jimi Hendrix. That was Mingus Murray, Train Whistle, Mingus Murray. Folks, this is AfroNerd, and this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Of our friend Sergio in advance from Shadow and Act. Definitely a site on the move mentioned by some industry leaders. You saw Warrington Hudlin of the infamous or famous Hudlin brothers. They name-dropped your site as well as Norman George, so I thought that was pretty big. Actually, I was on hold to talk to these gentlemen to say, hey, I know the gentleman that's behind Shadow and Act, and I was going to go into my spiel about Black Minstrelsy because they weren't hitting it. They needed some fire on that show, Captain, and they were like, oh, my God. They were pussyfooting about the state of black cinema. I was like, well, are these people in the same universe as to what's going on? But they're going to be back next week, and I'll make sure that Shadow and Act is name-dropped again while I'm on there next week. Anyway, talking about the year in 2012, I want to mention, you know, there's a lot of notables and celebrities, Captain, that are no longer with us. Major leaguers. I mean, number one would have to be, and perhaps the story of the year almost would be, the passing of Whitney Houston. Maybe, you know, we saw this kind of coming. We saw this with Amy Winehouse. When someone has a drug history and they just can't really seem to clean themselves up, death sometimes appears imminent. We saw Robert Downey Jr. able to fight his drug addiction. He went through it for a couple of years, and now he is succeeding. I was wishing that same story for Whitney, but it just wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening. That might be amazing. 47, 48 years old, and you're out of here? Amazing. Amazing stuff. Gore Vidal, no longer in the building. As I said, Jack Klugman, Oscar Madison himself just passed on. Charles Durning, noted character actor, no longer with us. So, you know, when you really go down the line, it's like Dick Clark is no longer in the building. There's some heavyweight people, you know, whether they be black or white, because we don't always play that game here, the AfroNerd. We talk about what their contributions were. And, of course, Mr. Mims' friend and colleague, Terry Glover, she died at a relatively young age also. So it's heartbreaking to see the good ones leave us early. I'll say that much. The good ones, well, what's the saying, Captain? All good things come to an end. All good things come to an end. That's the way life is, the circle of life, unfortunately. Captain, you had some words? I thought you were going to say something.
No, I said that is the saying. That is the saying. You're correct on that. That is the saying.
Hey, here's another name, Donna Summer.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Another name.
Yes. Yes.
Now, let me posit this question pertaining to these notables. Was it this year that people were just dying back to back, or was it the fact that we were just paying attention more? It's a question.
Well, listen, Neil Armstrong is no longer in the building. Sherman Hemsley is no longer in the building. Chad Everett, we grew up with Chad Everett on television. Sally Ride is no longer with us, the noted astronaut. I mean, there's a lot of people. If you really want to go into it, the weight of the people that died and the amount of people that died in the course of a year, it is pretty, you know, it's pretty – even
okay.
Rodney King is out of here now.
Okay.
You know,
wow, yeah,
you know,
that's right.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a lot of people, man. We have to acknowledge that. I am a problem with Mr. King, but King was a historical figure. He was a historical figure. So, and some folks, you know, Richard Dawson is no longer with, you know, with his kissing self on Family Feud. One of the Gibb, was Andy Gibb, I think? Andy Gibb's no longer, no, I'm sorry, Robin Gibb. Robin Gibb, let's look at some of these folks that are no longer with us. Wow, man, Chuck Brown. Man. Talk about, you gentlemen know how I love funk music. He is no longer in the building. So, you know, 2012, and it, of course, our youngsters out there in Sandy Hook and Aurora, Colorado, this might be the year of the maniacal shooting as well. Wisconsin, it really reached a high point in a negative sense. I think 2012 might go down as a year as a serial shooting. I don't think we've ever seen it that quite that way. So 2012, I hope 2013 will be, we have to make sure that it will be a better year. That's for sure.
I sure hope so. I really hope so.
You know, but to lose Whitney Houston and all these great people, I mean, you know, as far as their talent. I mean, I had issues with her because, you know, you gentlemen know I go in and out of this whole lower tier thing. Unfortunately, her background was that. It was covered up. It was covered up. But it is.
Well, you know, that's the funny thing. I think that's what shocked
up.
Yeah, oh yeah. People were shocked when
Clive Davis was there for that.
Right. I think people were really shocked when the real Whitney Houston came out because she was packaged as this elegant, glamorous woman. And you know, I think it turned when she married Bobby Brown. When she married Bobby Brown, everybody said, "What? What? Who? Huh? How that happened?" It seemed so unlikely, right? And then later, you know, everybody knew about their marriage and what went on. And then when he did that infamous TV show, Being Bobby Brown, which, wow. Ooh.
It was two crackheads on screen. That's what you saw.
Well, yeah, basically, you're right. Right. Yeah.
That were given screen time. That's what that was.
There was one group. There was a specific group that when she married Bobby Brown, that came out and said, that's who she really is. That's how that happened.
Right. Because everybody wants to blame Bobby Brown saying that he turned her. No, he did not. She was always that way. She was always that way. And Bobby Brown just maybe brought it out. You know, she felt freer to be her real self.
People forget that Whitney Houston is the older of the two. She got about 5 or 6 years on Bobby Brown. She was already a full adult when she married Bobby Brown. She's already in her early 30s when she married Bobby, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here, a lot of things that have to be unpacked. The truth will come out. You know, Bobby Brown was from the projects from Boston, but she's from Newark. She was a round-the-way girl herself. But
exactly.
Clive Davis, legendary Clive Davis, was there to kind of smooth that out, to make her America's sweetheart, and she dropped the ball on that. She could have been continuing to make money, but she could not extricate herself from that lower tier getaway standard. That's what happened. It's unfortunate.
I mean,
it happened to a lot of us.
You can argue that her career jumped the shark when she married Bobby, you know. But, you know, those things happen. Those things happen. And it's not like the old days. You know this very well. That back in the old days, in the Motown days, you know, they had, like, etiquette coaches and dialogue coaches who would prepare people, Diana Ross, all these people. They would prepare them for public appearances. How do you behave in public? Because, you know, Berry Gordy knew whether you think he's a great guy, whether you think he's the devil. Berry Gordy was smart enough to know that you are representing black people when you're out there in public.
Listen, we're going to have to close shop, unfortunately. Speaking of Berry Gordy, his sister died also, who was the wife, first wife of Marvin Gaye. She died at the age of 90.
Oh, the one he did the album to, Here, My Dear?
Yes, I think so,
uh-huh.
Yes. All right. Sergio, as always, we appreciate you coming through. Sorry about your dear friend, Ms. Glover. And we will continue to have a more enlightening year for 2013, hopefully. And better luck to you with Shadow and Act. I think it's definitely going to be big. Definitely.
I think something very big is coming. I don't know what or doesn't win, but I think something very big is happening next year that we're just going to blow people away because there were a couple other black film sites, and they've gone now. They've left because we have dominated them. Wasn't intentional, folks. You know, the more the merrier. But I think what we do, nobody else does, and we're just going to try to keep doing it. But I think something even bigger will happen sometime next year. Don't know what,
listen,
but I feel it.
When industry bigwigs say that, boom, that's what I knew. I kind of knew where they were leading. So they're going to mention Shadow and Act, and they did. So kudos to you, sir. Next Wednesday, we'll do it again. Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Right.
Let's go out on Count Count Maculov by Weapon of Choice. We'll be back on Wednesday. Happy New Year, folks. Appreciate it.
freak named Francine trembled with fear. Outside the castle door of Count Macula, she rap tap tap on the castle door, nervous about what she came here for. Cause she had come to meet the pet daddy vampire.
I've come to bite your what the heck.
But no one to answer, she was kind of hoping. When suddenly the castle door swung open.
Nose, sweet bitches in nose.